So today's reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 to 10. If you're reading in the Pew Bibles, it's 1192. So these are instructions to Timothy. The Spirit clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings comes through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God and prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labour and strive, that we put our hope in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, and especially of those who believe. Amen.
Well, good morning. Welcome. Good to have you with us this morning. It's great that God's speaking and moving amongst us, and he's with us by his Spirit. I'm sure already in the words of the songs and through the words of prophecy that have come, you've been challenged and hopefully encouraged to walk in godliness, to continue in that walk that God has called us to. In our little series we're looking at the moment, we started 2 weeks ago, and we thought about what I've called T-shirt slogans. Five sayings which the Apostle Paul says are trustworthy. So these are things that he really wanted to embroider into the tapestry of the early church, and to say these are things you really need to get into your minds and your hearts as to what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a church. Maybe foundational statements seeking to form culture, and therefore ones that should help us to reform our culture, to stand against the culture of this world and to allow God to shape us by his word. So, can anyone remember what the first of those trustworthy sayings was? Go on, Nikki. Very good, very good. So James, just stand up so everybody gets the benefit of your manly form. Sorry, Karen. That was. Thank you very much. That wasn't intended to be funny, James. That was. The Apostle Paul wants us to speak of ourselves like this. He spoke of himself like this, and he said this is how we should see Jesus and his role coming into the world to save sinners, and recognizing our individual response to that. Last week was slightly different, helping us to think about our aspirations, leadership within the body of Christ, and how we should relate to each other. Anybody remember that one? Yeah. Desire is a noble task, and Barry's going to stand up and remind us of that one. So whoever aspires to be an elder desires a noble task. Thank you very much. Okay. I gave you a few biblical tips on how to bring joy to your elders. You had a great week? Yeah, they're smiling, so you obviously listened to that. We also thought about how to encourage one another to identify our own little flock and how to aspire to shepherd that flock, that each of us, whether we're called formally to be an elder or not, can aspire to shepherd the flock of God's people. Well, today we're looking at that section from 1 Timothy chapter 4. And the trustworthy saying that I've chosen is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Thank you very much, Anthony.
was not bought for me.
Okay, so and if you wanted to go camping, you could borrow this T-shirt because it is an XXXL. So we'll say it together. Physical training is of some value, but do as a twirl. Godliness is value for all things. And it should really say dot, 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 because it goes on to say for this world and for the next. So thank you very much, Anthony. I did think it was actually probably quite appropriate for Anthony, who, as you all know, is a talented footballer, as well as being a wonderful painter and decorator. Other decorators are available. So this saying, then, is our trustworthy saying for today. And the Greek world to which... Oh, I'm a bit behind on my signs here, aren't I? Where are we up to? There we are. The Greek world to which Paul wrote was just slightly less obsessed with physical fitness than our own. It was really very high up on their agenda. Of course, the word gym comes from the Greek gymnasia. I feel about the great big fat Greek wedding, you know, where everything comes from the Greek. But this one really does. You know, the gym comes from gymnasia. And that's where the young men trained to compete in the games, the Olympics, but also prepared them for battle. So particularly for Timothy, this was something that would have been very familiar to him. He would have known what it was to go through that strenuous training. There is some lack of clarity as to which the trustworthy saying Paul is referring to. Is it verse 8, which is what I've chosen, or verse 10? But it doesn't really matter, I don't think, too much, because verse 10 explains verse 8. It says, "That's why we labour and strive, because we've put our hope in the living God, who is the saviour of all people, and especially of those who believe." Just to save any confusion there, that word saviour, yes, the Lord is saviour of those who believe, but he is also preserver of those who don't believe. He keeps them alive day by day. So in that sense, he's saviour of all people, especially of those who believe. So this statement explains why we should train in godliness. It's a great paradox of the Christian faith that we labour and strive because we put our hope in the living God. You might think that if you put your hope in the living God, you do nothing. You just sit back and let him bless you. But no, Paul says we labour and strive precisely because we put our hope in the living God. Even though our salvation is by grace, Paul is clear that we should work out our salvation, labour in the Lord, albeit in the strength that God provides. Without hope, there would be no point in striving. All of our hard work would achieve nothing. It is only because God is at work that we can have hope. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that God helps those who help themselves. Put a line through that one. Neither does it say that cleanliness is next to godliness. Those are also made up. What it does say is that we should work hard because we know that our labour in the Lord is not in vain. We make every effort because we've fixed our hope on the living God, who is preserver of all people and especially of those who believe. If God doesn't build the house, then the builders labour in vain. But if he does build it, let's join in. In these ways, we see that labouring and striving, these words that come from the gym, talk of strenuous training, apply to walking in godliness. So in verse 7, Paul tells Timothy he should train himself in godliness, and that's a life, living a life that is pleasing and in step with the Spirit, hence being obedient to God's will. In verse 8, he introduces that metaphor of physical training in the gym and points out that whilst that's of some limited use, training in godliness is of use for this life and the next. It's worth the effort, he's saying to Timothy, and it will take effort. Timothy should put in the same or even more dedication in training in godliness as the athletes put in down the road at the gym. Why is that? Well, in this life, godliness frees us from godless myths and old wives' tales, the so-called shortcuts to spirituality. Just do this and then you'll be godly. Instead, it trains us in the knowledge of God, the truths of the faith, and good teaching. Today, if you're thinking about godliness and old wives' tales, you might think about all those self-help books, the six easy steps to perfection. You know, how to become a world beater in 3 days. Those sort of things that seem to give you a shortcut through from where you are to where you want to be. And instead, Paul says, no, we need to put the effort in to do this properly. Rather than listening to these myths, train in godliness. This is of use not only in this life, but in the next too. It's beneficial in this life because it frees us from those myths and old wives' tales. And in the next, it is of value because it promises us the words, well done, good and faithful servant, because we've walked the path that God has called us to. So in this passage, it's clear that godliness is something that we can grow in and be trained in. And in the same way we grow fitter through exercise, we can grow in godliness. Paul tells Timothy to pursue this godly way of life. That's quite a strong word, isn't it? It's an exhortation to really focus his attention upon what it is that God wants him to do. In his letter to Titus, Paul says that godliness comes through faith and a knowledge of the truth. So if we're thinking about how does one train in righteousness, it's through faith and a knowledge of the truth. These are the things that set us on the right path. The Apostle Peter wrote, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love." So we see it then as part of that journey of faith where we grow in these virtues, where without the Spirit we can't bear the fruit of the Spirit, but once we're filled with the Spirit, as the Spirit bears this fruit in us, we are required to make every effort to seek to grow in these virtues, including godliness. So you might imagine, as a different metaphor, the musician. You could be a gifted musician and never practice, you're not going to achieve very much. Is that true, gifted musicians? Maybe four or five of us. I mean you. There are gifted musicians. If you don't practice, you're not going to get very far. But equally, I'm not a gifted musician. I practiced loads. I was still useless. You know, no amount of training was going to make me into a great musician. So you need both. You need the Holy Spirit to give you that gift, but then we need to work with the Spirit to grow in the gift that he gives us, to reach that potential that he has planned for us. So how do we apply this into our lives? In case you can't see this picture, it's divided into two halves. One that is probably trying to advertise makeup, but it probably is photoshopped so that the woman's face looks complete without spot or blemish on one side. And the other side is what she really looks like, which has got the odd pimple and mole and so forth, and looks like a real person, whereas the other one looks a bit like a cartoon. So the idea is that the world has this cultural obsession with a form of beauty, a form of physical fitness and outward beauty. We need to recognize that that's what our culture's like, because we swim in that culture. And therefore, our natural inclination is to go with the flow of the culture and to believe what the culture is saying. People spend hours in the gym but they have no time to read God's word or to pray, let alone come to church. Our media equates good looks with goodness. And if you don't believe me, watch virtually any movie of good versus evil. The goodies look good. The baddies look bad. They don't meet some arbitrary measure of physical beauty. So looking around, I see that not many of us spend hours at the gym. But I think we can still be drawn into the lies. We can still be drawn into the belief that our worth equates with our body image. There is something about that dangerous lie that it finds its way into our hearts and our minds, that the way that we look outwardly equates to what we're really like on the inside. We perhaps equate our worth with our ability to stick to a diet, or we equate our worth with the size of the muscles that we build up, depending with which lie we're believing. And perhaps we feel we have to live up to the photoshopped picture of beauty or eternal youth. You know, it is a truth that we are all getting older. All of us are getting older. We don't have to lie to one another about that. It is something that is universal and is not bad. It is a good thing that God gives us wisdom and age. So we need to hear Paul's words. Physical fitness is of some use. Being excessively overweight or inactive is bad for us, and it hinders our effectiveness for serving God. And physical exercise can be beneficial for mental health, especially if it's outside in beautiful nature or working together in a team. But this life is not all there is, nor is it the biggest part of our existence. This is a short and passing part of our existence. So with that in mind, do we put as much thought into our spiritual diet, what we read, what we look at on the internet, what we watch on television? Do we feed our spirit with the Word of God, with nature, with art, with friendship? Do we seek God to fill us again and again with His Spirit and feed us with His words? Or do we fill our minds with unhelpful images and get pushed into the world's mould? When did you last read a Christian book? Leslie probably says yesterday, but the rest of you, when did you last read a Christian book? A book that helps you to grow in godliness. The summer's a great time to read something, to put aside that time to actually train yourself by reading something, perhaps a little bit beyond what is comfortable for you, something that challenges you a bit, either intellectually or spiritually, draws you in. So if you wanted to get fitter, what would you do? Here's Homer Simpson, who's come up with a plan of how to get fit. And it involves having the television on his treadmill and sitting down whilst he watches it. So this might be your plan of how you get fit. But if you wanted to get fit, what would you do? This is a real question. What might you do? Any suggestions? Sorry? You might go to a class. So join a gym or join a class. Yeah? What else might you do? I can see you've not given this a lot of thought. You might do some cycling, so some exercise. You might choose a form of exercise. Before you did any of those things, I'd like to say that you probably decide to get fit. You have to make that decision, don't you? But to give you the impetus to join the gym or to do some exercise. Shona, did you do more walking? So you choose a form of exercise that's suitable to you, yeah, to grow in fitness. Anything else? have a plan, yes, so you might actually think through what you're going to do and start planning towards that. Eat less cake. I've got that down. Eat, well, not actually eat less cake, but that might be a specific word for me, but eat right. Eat the right things. We're having a balanced diet at the moment. It consists of pizza and ice cream. You know, that seems to be a balanced diet, doesn't it? But we might choose to eat right. And certainly if you go to the doctor and they're telling you to get fit, they'll say you need to eat more vegetables, you need to eat less fat, you know, you need to eat the right things, because what you put in is important as the exercise you do. So those things go together. I've got one other thing that they say is most helpful, both in losing weight and in getting fitter. What do you think that is? Most helpful thing. Sorry, well, the five things, different mental state, yes, but it's achieved somehow. Tell someone else what you're doing. Or what I've got written down is get a gym buddy. A gym buddy or a diet partner that will take you to Weight Watchers or whatever it is, other weight loss are available. But you need that person that's going to hold you accountable, is going to encourage you, is going to commiserate with you when you both go out and binge on a cake. You know, those people that are going to walk with you through the process of getting fit. They say that's one of the most important things to get you to stick at it. Because it's really hard to keep making yourself go to the gym on your own. You need someone to walk with you in it. So, with that in mind, if you wanted to grow in godliness, what might you do? Not rocket science, is it? It's the same sort of things. First of all, you're going to have to decide that you want to grow in godliness, that this is something you're going to pursue. You're going to make a plan. You're going to think about what's going to help me do that. What do I need either to change in my diet or to change in my exercise, what I do, that's going to help me to be strengthened in godliness. And a gym buddy, somebody that will walk with you in that process, that you can say, you know, I'm trying to do this. Would you help me with that? I think back to different people that have come over the years and I've talked with and have asked the particular problems that they faced in their life and have asked me to hold them accountable in that, to talk to them about it and ask them, how are you getting on with that? Different ways in which we can encourage one another to just stick on that path. You might want to invite the Holy Spirit to become your gym buddy, the one who holds you accountable, who directs you and encourages you. Join a small group where you can talk about what God's doing in your life and how you're seeking to pursue that. Have regular quiet times. The good old thing of read your Bible. Be open to what God's saying through his word. Give time to that and listen to what he's saying. And this is sort of speaking to the converted, but join a church. You know, being part of a group of people that are pursuing godliness, because godliness isn't some form of spiritual perfectionism. This is doing what the word says. It struck me that Paul writes that there's a form of godliness, but without the power. There's a form of looking right on the outside, but without the Holy Spirit giving you the power to do it. So then it becomes hypocrisy. There's the stuff that looks good on the outside, but the inside is dead bones. So we need that power within to enable us to actually walk in godliness, put into practice what we read. So this isn't just to give you some information that you can then go home and think, yes, that was interesting, but to make you respond, to make you come to that point of thinking about how you and I can grow in godliness. So we need to invite the Holy Spirit this morning to be our personal trainer, to point out those things that we need to focus on. It's his presence that brings the fruit of the Spirit and enables us to grow in godliness. But we also need to labor and strive because we've put our hope in the living God. So what about this morning? Are you putting effort into growing in godliness? And my question that I'd like you to write on your piece of paper that you were given when you came in is this. What could help you? What could help you to grow in godliness? What could you do that might help you grow in godliness? So we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit just to come and to speak to you. So it's not just your good ideas, but actually the Spirit speaking. And then we'll just give a couple of minutes in quiet for you to write something down. The piece of paper is not for me this week. The piece of paper is for you. So you don't have to write out an essay, unless that's helpful. Just write something that will remind you during the week of what you've said, what the Spirit said to you, would help you to grow in godliness. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that through your death on the cross, you invited us into life, and life in all its fullness. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God, that you are the living God who lives and walks amongst us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to search our hearts, to know our minds. You know, Lord, what will help us to grow in godliness. You can convict us of those areas that are ungodly, to repent of them and to move away from them. So, Lord, would you use this time to speak to us in words that are clear and simple, that we might respond. Amen.